Hey everyone, Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett. On today's Mayor's Table, we have the dynamic duo from the San Juan United Way here to talk to you and your companies about ways that you can give in the month of giving here in San Juan County. Stay tuned. Happy holidays, everyone. Farmington Mayor Nate Duckett here at the San Juan Safe Community Studio, beautiful downtown Farmington, New Mexico. Ooh. With some amazing guests here with me today. Also, I think we did this like 12 months ago.
Yeah.
Time has gone by fast.
It really has.
With me today is the Executive Director of the San Juan United Way, Catherine Abeda.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And her sidekick. Is that fair?
You know, it really is, because I fancy myself a Robin, but I just love the title of deputy.
Deputy.
That means I had to be deputized.
You are.
Ceremonially.
Deputy Director Jennifer Johnson. Mm-hmm. San Juan.
The dynamic duo.
Yeah. Some call you Jen. We're going to call you Jennifer.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I love it. That's your given name.
Elegant.
Nathan. If I go by Nate.
Or MD.
MD. I like that you came in with that. That's new.
Mayor on the Mesa. Oh, I got lots of them. I'm working on it.
Rock and Rev came up with that, Mayor on the Mesa. You guys are awesome. Well, hey, thanks for being here with us today. Being this time of year, the month of December, I think really is the giving month, so to speak, and it's important to remind people, the organizations that are here in our community that are in need of support, not just now, of course, but all year long. But the San Juan United Way serves a really particular, in my mind, a very widespread mission of supporting numerous organizations. So I think it's good to bring you in, talk about, you know, the organizations, A, that you support, let people know, of course, that all their local donations that go to the San Juan United Way that are dispersed stay here. There's not monies going into the pockets of any CEO anywhere. It's going directly to these organizations they deem fit for whatever their passions are. And where people can go if they want to help, they need help, and all those good things that you do.
Well, thank you so much for having us on this year and last year to give this plug to the community about all of the great nonprofits. This is the time of year that we ask people to be generous and think about donating. So we have a really cool system where over 100 local workplaces do a payroll deduction for their employees. It's an optional, voluntary donation through your paycheck. So it just kind of comes out like your 401k or like your taxes, and you don't really see it. And it adds up quite a bit over the year. So we've been hustling the last couple of months doing that, but there's still time. The first deductions don't usually happen until beginning of January. So we'll be working the rest of the month to try to get new more companies to come on board and find a program, find an initiative, find some nonprofit in the county that means something to you. And by banding together with your colleagues, a couple dollars a paycheck adds up significantly. And that's a lot of what we do. And we get to see that year after year as we go out and we joke that we're hustling dollars. But at the end of the year, we get to see over $1 million collected because of the giving nature of our community and the companies that they work for. So
I mean, I think about it like the March of Dimes, right? I mean, that's how that started, just one dime at a time.
Mm-hmm. Best story.
You know, adds up, and then we're able to address this bigger issue. And
yep.
So, you know, let's say my company is interested in joining in on this and doing the monthly deductions from the paychecks. Do we have to collectively choose one organization, or can each individual, based on the money that they're giving each month, designate a different organization that they can give to?
Sure can. It's completely up to you as an individual.
Okay.
So, in fact, MD, I'd like to take that one if I could.
Yeah, Jen, please. Deputy. So, I apologize. Deputy.
Let me give you a quick example. So I personally, my passion is senior citizens and dogs.
Awesome.
So I give my money to, because of course I put my money where my mouth is, and I contribute to Northwest New Mexico Seniors as well as the Farmington Animal Shelter. So you can choose any 501c3 that you want. If you want want to go national and you want to go UNICEF, you want to go St. Jude's, we'll send every penny of your donation. If you want to give a dollar a paycheck, we'll send that dollar to them. But something that we're very passionate about is trying to keep that money local. And so we want to help you find a local passion. So if you love supporting the ASPCA, maybe you could consider Turquoise Paws or the Black Hat Humane Society. If you want to support St. Jude's because you have a passion for cancer and children, maybe you could look into Children's Hope, who help local families find support to be able to go to doctor's visits that may be in Albuquerque and they can't afford to go. And so it would take many, many mayor's tables to talk about how many different needs there are. But that's the beautiful thing, is that you can either choose individually who you want to give to, and you can split it up all day if you like. But we also offer our community fund. And so if you don't know, or it's too overwhelming to consider how many people may need assistance, then you can give to that fund. And it is the same concept, 100% goes directly to these organizations, but it's also 100% local. So we banded together with 18 local heroes, which there are very many more, but to try to approach problems holistically by finding organizations that work in tandem with one another to help to actually get out of a situation rather than to just temporarily address it.
I love it.
Thanks.
All right, end of show. Thanks.
Right?
So checks can forward. Be made payable, too. No, right.
So you mentioned, we'll go back here. I want to break this down. But you mentioned the 18 organizations that received the 2022 Community Impact Grant, right? And I just want to kind of read through these real quick, just mm-hmm. to give people an idea. But going to the San Juan United, or SJUnitedWay.org website, all this information is available there. And the list of organizations that you can choose from is extensive. I mean, I don't know how many are on this list.
Oh, and they're not even all representative.
Right?
I can tell you there's so thousands. Many.
Mm-hmm. More than that.
And what I like about this is it's a collective. It's the catch basin, so people have a single place that they could go to find, A, where I can give, and B, if I need help, or if I know somebody who needs help. I mean, that was one of the things, you know, in 2020 that we worked on diligently, and you guys played such a huge role in that, and thank you again. San Juan United Way, San Juan College, the city of Farmington, and just trying to make sure that people knew, hey, you need help, you need money for food, you need food, you need clothes, you need, you know, rent assistance, you need electrical, you know, utility assistance. Here's where we go. And then the same side, hey, I want to help those people. Here's mm-hmm. where you can go. So anyways, make sure you guys check out the sjunitedway.org. But here's the quick synopsis. These 18 local organizations who benefited from individuals contributing to the community fund. The American Red Cross, by the way, these are all in alphabetical order, I'm assuming, the way that they sit here. The American Red Cross received $15,000. The Aztec Boys and Girls Club received $15,000. The Big Brothers Big Sisters of San Juan County, $15,000. Boys and Girls Clubs of Bloomfield and Boys and Girls Club of Farmington, I'm going to stop reading off the numbers. The Great Southwest Council, Child Haven, Desert View, this one I can't read because
DNA
I didn't.
Legal Services.
DNA Legal Services, ECHO. Family Crisis Center, Girl Scouts of New Mexico, KYA, Navajo United Methodist Center, Northwest New Mexico Seniors, PATH, PMS, Sexual Assault Services. And these are not small amounts of money, by the way.
Correct.
Could they be bigger? Of course sure. they could be, right? But that's why we're here talking today.
Yeah,
to encourage
yeah. with
people,
your help.
Yeah, with your help, these numbers can grow.
Truly, absolutely.
So being that it's this time of year, and you all are, you know, far more in tune probably than most on organizations that are really needing help right now. Are there any that stand out in your mind that if I've got a bunch of blankets, I've got a bunch of coats, I've got a ton of food. I mean, where should people be going? Or I got a ton of money. There you go.
Well, start at our website. Depending on your topic, because we do have several different categories. Do you have a ton of items? And then we have agencies listed that regularly need certain types of items. If you have a bunch of money, come to our website, see all of the nonprofit programs out there, learn about what they do. Actually, from that list that you read off, you can click on that logo of the agency and go learn more about that agency from a homemade video that they all made
within
the last
year.
That's
great. Like a marketing video to talk about what we do.
Yep. We asked them to produce these with zero budget, just for the good of telling what they do. You know, this isn't a big marketing spot. This is to tell the community, here's why we need local support. And they go into detail about why the local support and why the dollar is coming from individuals in the community rather than outside grants, which often outside grants are higher in dollars, but they're more restrictive in what they can spend it on. So there's a huge amount of appreciation from all of these agencies to every single donor, because every dollar that adds up can be used so much more effective.
I think that's a really good point. People don't know that necessarily. I mean, if you go out and get a federal grant, I mean, you've got restrictions. You've got to play within this box. You've got to report everything that's happening in this box, which, by the way, is very different than how the federal government operates their own budget. But whatever. So you've got to follow these rules. These dollars that come in, they're free for that organization to use for whatever they need to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be things as simple as paying our utilities to keep the lights on.
That's a big one.
For the organization itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of goes from there. But no restrictions necessarily on it. I think that's important for folks to know. And they call that a certain
unrestricted fund.
Unrestricted fund.
And so, I mean, the only stipulation we put on it, because it's important to us to keep our community thriving, is spend your money in our county. So, you know, in San Juan County, spend your money. And we also urge as many of our nonprofits that receive our grants as possible to work with local vendors. Work with local vendors. If you have to pay a little bit higher premium, it helps our community, and that's really what we're about, because a lot of these local vendors are also donors, and so it all really comes back together when we can support each other. And the unrestricted funding is just, it's so much more valuable even than that dollar amount attached to it, and it only comes through individual giving through this campaign.
Excellent.
Yes.
How long have you guys both been doing this with the San Juan United Way?
6 years.
Yeah, we're going on
six and a half for Catherine.
Yeah.
She started a couple months before me.
It seems longer. I don't know why.
It does.
There were also like six or seven people, and now it's just us.
Yeah, yeah.
We need to get a cat or something at our office. Our plants are dying even. But it shows the longevity, you know.
Are you guys hiring?
We learn more and more. No, we've got to be able to keep giving the money back out. We're trying to work on a shoestring.
We keep
the dynamic duo just takes care of it.
Yeah, we wear too many hats. But we think the more money we save, this is the other cool thing, is all of the money that it takes to run United Way, Jen and I, every year, to pay our light bills, to print out our forms, all of those things, that comes from local companies in this community. So we raise our own money. We raise our own budget every single year, and we work so hard to keep that as low as possible. So when it comes, when there's opportunities for us to, you know, take on another task or to, you know, help get more volunteer support, we will, because every penny that we save in our budget can go back to the nonprofits in the granting process. And so then that's an even, I guess, just it's really adding an additional impact to the money that's there. And so that's another really, I think, special and important thing about when people can give to our United Way. They're not paying our electricity bill or our printer bill. We do a lot to keep those really low, but it's actually the generosity of about 24 companies locally that their sponsorship goes to do that, because they believe in what we do. And so by them underwriting the costs, we're able to go out and raise 4 times more money for the community. That just goes out to the community. We don't have to take a fee on it because the bills are paid. And so that's something that is very unique to this community. Whenever we get to go out and participate and talk with other United Ways around the country, that's one thing that sets us apart from others, is that our community supports our work fundamentally, so that every dollar we raise goes back out. And I 6 years is a long time to be here, but that is one of the big reasons that I stay. It's just, that's incredible. This community does that. It's not because United Way sets that up.
Sure.
So,
well, it's a great strategy for a nonprofit to work by.
I agree.
Mean, you want to run lean and mean, so you can put every dollar that you can to the organizations or the people you're trying to support. I mean, that's...
We rent out one of our offices to American Red Cross.
And we do.
Girl Scouts pays a little bit for storage in our basement.
Yeah.
But that's a good point, too, because some employers are not... They don't feel comfortable asking their employees to give. They don't know what their situation is. They don't want to put them on the spot like that.
Yeah.
And so that's another great way that you can get involved, and you can slap your logo as, you know, a helping hand to that solution by just even supporting, you know, our operational costs, because then we can go further.
Yeah, we can do more. The more help we have from the community, the more we can do. And we really saw that over the pandemic. While I mean, while we were worried and holding our breath like a lot of other businesses and nonprofits, it turned out that we had so much support that we were able to go even further with the impacts than a regular year. A regular year, we might have just been raising money and doing as much good along the way, but throughout the pandemic, there was so much need, but so much opportunity for support that we were able to really fill a lot of needs or find agencies the support they need to be able to fulfill their mission because the needs just went sky high.
Sure.
So it's just a really awesome organization because it is of the community in every single way. So I also always appreciate you letting us come and talk about that.
Yeah, of course. One of the things that's on the website that I wanted to dig in, and I apologize, I didn't bring this up beforehand, but it's the emergency shelter.
Yeah.
You have a whole tab on that and lots of information for people. Can you talk a little bit about how that works?
Yeah, I'll let Jen take that.
I would love to, and that has taken me a full 6 years to just start to understand because it's government. So FEMA has a program called Emergency Food and Shelter. So it is not United Way dollars, but they have what's called a national board, and then that is replicated locally. And so if you convene it, it's generally the United Way, local United Way that convenes it. And so we are required to have a board member from American Red Cross, we're required to have one from Salvation Army. If we have a Jewish Federation, we have to have one from there, which we do not. Catholic Charities, they want someone who represents homelessness, whether it's from a shelter or someone who has experienced it themselves. So it's a very multifaceted board. And what happens is, depending on the government, it's very unpredictable, but generally at least once a year, we get awarded a certain amount for our county. Historically, it's been between about $50,000 and $80,000.
Okay.
And so we have local organizations apply, but they have to meet certain criteria. Obviously, no political, you know, campaign funds and religious requirements, those sorts of things. And so it's just a checklist, and they have to offer emergency food or shelter, which can look different. So there's mass feeding, there's food boxes, there's homeless shelters, but there's also rent and mortgage assistance. They just added a new category that it used to just be metered utilities, and now there's unmetered, so propane, wood, coal. And so they have these different categories, and we invite applicants who ask for whatever amount of money, and then the local board decides on a funding amount for each of them based on what they want to use it for. So it's always an exciting program, and I don't know if luckily is the right word, but historically there were so few organizations that they would get a significant amount of funding from it. But this last, I can't remember if we mentioned it this last time, but with over the past 2 years, we have received over $250,000 in EFSP funding.
And that gets redistributed immediately to
immediately and locally.
Okay.
And so we were able to bring in more, possibly not who you would think of, like Navajo United Methodist Center. That is a domestic violence shelter that you can, it's kind of a transitional. So if you've, you know, reached your term at Family Crisis Center, but you're not ready to be on your own yet, you can go over there. So it's technically it's emergency shelter. So we found a way to kind of peel through all that red tape and figure out, oh, well, you would qualify for this and you would qualify for this. We found gaps, like no one was offering propane assistance or wood assistance. And so Salvation Army raised their hand and said, we'll make that a part of our programming. So award us that. And then they actually report back to the government with their receipts and all of that. And so we don't have to have too much to do with it. But because we exist and because the need is there and because we now know these organizations, we're able to facilitate some incredible funding to go to some important needs. And so we like that that takes up a big spot on the website.
Yeah. Because it's still pretty exciting. In addition to all of the other grants that go out, and even though we don't raise the money, the more work that's done and the higher the need of the community, that's how the funds end up becoming allocated through an appropriation through Congress. So we were even fortunate over the pandemic to be we had several allocations in 1 year, and so for a lot of the agencies that we were able to know more about to bring them in, a lot of the funds, I mean, it can really do something. It can make a significant impact. And so, and now too, with the expansion shelter being open all year round, they now qualify to be receiving these funds. Like these, it's exciting to just keep moving and finding that there's more and more resources out there for the things that we really need that won't just apply a Band-Aid to a situation. Really, sure. we really want to be putting the money, we want to invest the money. If you think of this as social investment, you want a return, and the return is a happy, healthier community, and that means that the people living here have that. And so that's really where we want to be putting the money, and our community does that. And so we bring in as much outside funding as possible, and that's one thing we've been able to work on a lot more in the last year, is looking for outside funding to bring into the nonprofits in addition to what we can raise locally.
Sure. I think that's a critical point, what you just said, a happier, healthier community. People need to know that these organizations exist, that their missions are dedicated to helping the human life. I mean, yeah. How do we grow as a community and take care of those individuals who are desperate and in need? Mm-hmm. And I think, to me, just talking about organizations who have set up the payroll deduction thing, I mean, these are organizations who've determined that, hey, giving is a part of our mission.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage organizations, companies that are out there, if you're watching or listening to this on our new podcast,
hey-o.
That if you're looking for ways to get into that and to share that mission with your employees, and people want to give.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even if a dollar, a paycheck, I mean,
you won't even notice
it. That's a
simple
thing, right? But being able to say that I was able to give to these organizations makes you have ownership for it. It makes you I don't know. For me, it just completes the cycle of life. I mean,
totally.
Being of service, being of giving, something that's easy to do. So if I'm interested in doing that with my company, we just call you guys and say, hey, mm-hmm. Let's get this going.
And I'll tell you just how easy it is real quick, too, in case you think maybe we'll get involved next year. Actually, October, November, and December are the absolute most bananas of our months fundraising because the deductions don't start until January. And so it's hard to ask too early on. So all we require, we don't even have to come in. We can send you a video. We can send you some impact reports. Or what generally happens is whenever you have a staff meeting, a safety meeting, I've gone to Navajo Mine at 5 a.m. So we show up at any time, anywhere, and you can just give us the first 5 minutes or 15 minutes or however much time you have. And we'll just give them that quick pitch about, you know, what the opportunity is. There's no pressure. You can keep the forms and turn them in a month. You can sign them all right there and turn them back. So it's a very rapid turnaround and a quick and easy way to get involved.
It's an easy clearinghouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because
in my
mind, I'm thinking about, you know, let's say it's PATH.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just want to give the PATH. So I'll just contact PATH and I'll set up that giving through them. Is there any difference, though, in just using your clearinghouse system to go direct and say, hey, I want this money to go to PATH?
If you already go and give your gift to PATH, we wouldn't want you to stop.
Right.
But here's what
right.
my thought. Here's like a strategic thought behind it. If you're going to give to PATH, you're likely going to go do a one-time gift or a monthly gift. Maybe you'll give $20. But on average, PATH is going to actually receive more of a donation from you if you give once every paycheck, even if it's a dollar. Like it's more mm-hmm. strategic in that way because it's easier for people to give on a budgeted type format like that. People tend to give so much more. I mean, you could give $25 one time, but when you look at your form and you see, for $10, I can give over $260. Like that's a huge impact. And we have examples of how much that impact is right there. And so it's for sure that not one is better than the other, but whatever one is easier for you. We
right.
just tend to believe that it makes it so much easier for people that they're going to give more, and that benefits the nonprofit even better, and it gives that person an even deeper relationship with that organization. And one other thing I would add, I know that a lot of businesses are hesitant to ask their employees to give, but it really does align with a lot of what the business's mission
yeah.
is in the community. One thing that I would say is don't think that your employees can't give. That's their choice. It's their choice. It doesn't matter how much they make. We see more donor participation in minimum wage jobs than we do in executive offices, just so you know, like just a fact.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we always encourage business owners, especially, you know, sometimes they were saying, well, we had to lay people off, or we've had to do hiring freezes or pay increase freezes. Give people the chance, because donating it's not a luxury. Donating back to your community is your choice. It's a personal thing, same as tithing, things like that. People wouldn't ask you not to do that. And so it's really more of give people the opportunity. Of course, don't put any pressure on people, but everyone deserves the opportunity to do it.
No, I like the way you phrase that. Give them the opportunity. people, because a lot of folks don't
know.
They'll
surprise you. They'll surprise you.
And here's the thing. I mean, I can speak from my own life experiences. I mean, I believe that most families have been impacted by individuals who have suffered from addiction or mm-hmm. suffer from homelessness or suffer from sexual assault or suffer from domestic battery. I mean, and so it has touched you in some, or suffer from cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Children's Hope Foundation, love their mission. I've had multiple friends and families who've utilized, you know, the community mm-hmm. contributions to them to go and travel and take care of their kids when their kids have to, you know, seek treatment in other places. So everybody's been touched in some way. So give them the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Show, hey, look at all these organizations that are available mm-hmm. somewhere in there. You know, there's something that they've aligned with at some point in time or been impacted by, and let them try.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, let's move to this next segment of this. And I just want to make sure we talked a little bit about, the how, or if I need help with, so you're an individual who on your website, you've got a resource guide, and you've got some links on there for individuals, and I'll just read through this. I need help with rent, food, utilities, childcare, shelter, or mental health. Talk a little bit about that.
Those are our most common calls. Those categories are what we receive the most calls, asking for help and direction, or who do I call, where do I go? And so the resource guide, of course, gives much more in-depth information.
Sure.
But if you just need a quick phone number or need to know some of the programs that provide such and such, we've made it really easy. We know people don't like to call. We know people like to look at things on the phone, and you can actually click the number and it'll just take you right to them. You don't have to go through an operator or anything like that. And none of these places need a referral to hear from you.
Okay.
So that's one good first place to start. Another thing is we actually have a contact us form right under that in case you don't see what you're looking for. And we get those emails. We also work in partnership with the Mental Wellness Resource Center that is a part of San Juan County. And they're located right across the emergency room on Maple and Airport.
Yep.
Their phone number is the best to call for right now if you need immediate help. Of course, during business hours. I'm not sure what the situation is after hours right now, but that is something that we're working on. do you want me to give their phone number?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Mental Wellness Resource phone number, if you need resources, is 505-636-7110. And
that's we're saying Mental Health Resource Center. It's a broad, there's a broad spectrum here that we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, can I contact them if I need utility help?
Yeah.
It would be just the same as contacting your organization?
Yeah.
Essentially, because are you guys going to then just send them?
Likely.
There? Okay.
So one of the logistical things that's happened is since Jen and I have become a team of two, it's really helped us do our work better and find more opportunities for funding and growth in the nonprofits when the resource center work is taken. I guess the approach is more holistic and more hands-on from the county. And we've been working with them for years, even in the development of that department and now the resource center.
Sure.
And so they take a really great approach to meeting that person where they're at. What are the blocks? A lot of times the reason they're calling or coming in, that issue might not be the thing that needs to be solved. It's just the easiest symptom to identify. And so they're trained to figure that out and point them in the right direction. Whereas, you know, we can do that too, but there's just a lot to keep up with, and having their support and having that resource there is going to allow that to grow. And
sure.
So in the community, not only will it be somewhere where people can call and just get resources, but people can call and determine what circumstance they're in, and they might be able to be eligible for other programming that we're not aware of, that because they're a county program, they have other funds for, or they have other programs
So don't let the title Mental Health Resource Center stop you from contacting
Correct.
Them for resources.
Call it a resource.
Think of it as is something
resource
stressing
center.
You out.
Yeah.
Because that
Human
is going to
resource
affect
center.
Your yes. mental health. So,
right. yes.
I mean, don't call them about anything you're stressed out about. But you
do
know,
you need help?
Something relevant, yeah. perhaps.
Do you need help
And that
navigating?
Is one misconception about United Way that I hate to say, but it's all 211's always been a referral service. So I think throughout the pandemic, there's been a lot of discussion that's gotten mingled that, you know, we have a box of cash that's available for anything that you need.
Yeah.
So if you just call us and let us know the car's dead or the battery's dead on my car, that's not something we do. And so we just let you know to the best of our knowledge who might be able to help you with that. So I just want to make sure that people understand that, because I know that there's a lot of defeat when you do have to keep calling other places and they refer you here and that person refers you here and then you're just ready to give up. And so we would love to find somewhere to send you, but we don't actually offer those direct services.
There are some limitations.
There are some.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be the catch-all for everything.
That'd
be a full-time job.
But that's an interesting point. My battery's dead. Is there an organization out there?
I just had a call for that.
That's providing, you know, funding for
automobile
parts.
It's kind of it's very disheartening because the requests are so unique now because of the situation that it was almost always food, shelter, rent, utility assistance, chiefly. And now, I mean, I've had people who would like to know if they can find a pair of used scrubs because they just got a new job, but they don't even have the uniform that they're required to wear, or non-slip shoes to be able to work at a restaurant, or $60 to pay their overdue storage facility back payment so that they can get in, so that they can get their birth certificate, so that they can apply for a job. So it's just crazy, the little things. And there aren't programs for that. Nobody just created a program for that. And if there was, they would probably have such a catch-all. It would be crazy. But that's where the Mental Wellness Resource Center does help, because they'll say, like, okay, well, maybe if we could do this, then we could do this, and then we could do this.
Sure. Now I'm certainly glad the county has picked that up and putting that all together. I mean, it's a good partnership for all of the public entities that are here to have them kind of lead that as well. Anything else on this subject?
Props to the county and the city for also seeing a need to create a year-long shelter.
Yep.
I mean, we're getting a lot of ups here, but you guys are making incredible differences as well.
Huge
and deserve to be recognized.
That was made, and I mean, last year when we were here 12 months ago, we were probably talking about the growing need of what was happening, and so now 12 months later, to be able to say actually it's open 24/7, 365, is a huge success for our community, and I appreciate everything that the city and the county did to lead that and secure the funding and see the need for that those sorts of resources help take some pressure off of the nonprofits on their day-to-day as well too. So
all right
yeah,
well, thank you all for that. We'll keep working on it. I know you all are engaged in a number of different initiatives surrounding homelessness, and I appreciate your passion in which you do that. And
and on a light note, it's always fun to go round up blankets, socks, toys, treats for the dogs. I mean, you know, whatever gives you that little warm feeling. Everybody needs that this time of year. So.
It is a good, it's a great component to be able to express yourself in that way, honestly.
And we'll post what you have.
Something I'm passionate for. Let me give a little piece of me to you.
And we'll be posting more on our website and Facebook of upcoming drives. So different locations will hold the drives to say, hey, here, we're going to do drop-off for all blankets. And those go throughout the cold months. So not just this month, but this month's definitely a good one to start thinking about it.
Sure. San Juan United Way on Facebook.
Yes.
SJUnitedWay.org online.
Yes. You can also find us at SanJuanUnitedWay.org.
Okay.
We got Bougie
but
and Bob
Not United
Wolf.
Way of the San Juan, that is Puerto Rico.
It's true. And Colorado.
And Washington.
Yeah.
And Washington.
Yeah.
That's right. All right.
We're not the only Juan. I couldn't help myself.
Well, Jennifer.
Yes, sir.
Catherine.
Yes.
Thank you both for being here. I wish you and your families a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, New Year's, everything. Just appreciate the work that you're doing, and let's keep it up.
Thank you so much. You
all
as well.
Yeah. And we appreciate all of you.
Yes. Well, we do appreciate our listeners and our viewers. And we've gone over a lot of extensive information. If you're interested in giving, we've given you a platform where you could do that at. If you're interested as a company to get all of your employees engaged in giving, we've given you a platform to do that as well. And to all the nonprofits who are out there, thank you for what you do. Thank you for your giving each and every day to individuals who are in need. And we encourage you in that end. And again, we hope everybody out there has a fantastic holiday season. The next episode of the Mayor's Table will be with City Manager Rob Mays. We'll be doing a year in review for 2022. So you definitely don't want to miss that. So we'll see you here next time on the Mayor's Table.